Venerable Sir, I think this is a very interesting session this morning. I've been with Bob for 10 years, but it's the first time I listened to a talk about leadership. And it's pretty interesting in the sense that because most of us haven't worked before in the corporate side, the leadership is quite different. For example, in a public listed company, they are sales driven. So they select a board of directors and also the CEO, and that person must be very dollar oriented or whatever, because he is basically measured in terms of profits and losses, that kind of thing. And so for that kind of organization, they pick people who are skillful in certain things. In an organization, you've got different things. You've got production, sales, and everything. So a production manager looks at production. Another person looks at quality. Another person looks at human resources, etc., etc. The leader looks at the overall. But the leader must be a people skill for sure. He must be able to solve problems, understand people's emotion and whatever, and actually bring results to the board of directors. Then he can keep his job. But coming back to the Buddhism side, I think it's really interesting to understand how the Thai culture, the Buddhist culture. I certainly understand and agree with the things you said today. And on the other side, Buddhism is not a religion that tries to attract people to come and join them. From what I can observe here in 10 years, I see a lot of new faces, which is very good. And these people who join, I don't think they are being coerced or anything. They came, they listened to Dharma talks, they listened from their colleagues, from the venerable sirs, and they understand. They have faith, and from sadhā, they move to practice, and slowly they understand better, and they become very strong Buddhists in the sense that you can talk to them about anything, they will still be here next time, they kind of think that. The last thing you mentioned about this, if Buddhism want to attract people, maybe if you look at another, just comparison, like Christianity. A lot more we find that people really, I think sometimes, I'm not a Christian, of course I've been in Buddhism for a long time, I see the way they do things is like, they have a certain measurement. These people goes around, they are pretty hard working in the sense that even the hot sun won't stop them. They come to the house, they drop things, they knock on your door, they never go, until they want to meet you and talk to you. And they're selling one thing. If you believe in the God, when you pass away, you go to heaven for sure. Now that's a question mark. I mean, people say you don't see it, you don't believe it, but I'm not sure really. Can people tell me, hey, you become a Christian tomorrow, if you pass away, irrespective of what you do in the past, you will be born in heaven. Can we believe that? I mean, this is just for us to argue about, yeah? And ultimately, okay. Maybe when they go around, even the person in charge of the church, he would be measured in terms of how many new intakes or new joiners into their group. I may be wrong, but the way I say it could be like that. But Buddhism is certainly on the right track. I think we have got a system where venerables do their job, and everybody who are good, they are good in certain things. Like Ananda, for instance, you say is a scholar. Another person could be another one. So we learn from individuals in that sense. Just make some comments on it.
Okay. So if I'm not mistaken, your question is like, you know, what's up with the Christians and you just have to believe in God and you go to heaven? Is it that easy? Okay, well, I was born into a Christian family before I converted to Buddhism. I'm no big expert, but I have a general knowledge of Christianity. My sense is like, it doesn't seem right to me. It seems too good to be true. You know, as long as you believe something, you are saved, okay? As long as you believe this iPad is worth $1 million, you're saved. You just have to believe. Do you believe this is worth $1 million, brother? Oh, no heaven. No heaven. Not going to heaven, okay? So, that's kind of a dirty trick. You can get people to believe things if you withhold their entry to heaven, unless they agree with you. You know, I am the gatekeeper of heaven. I am a priest who knows the way to heaven. So you have to agree with me, or I block your access to heaven. Okay, Here's this term they have, gatekeeping. I keep the gate, okay? Yeah, so this too good to be true thing, you know, I think people with good common sense would feel this sense of it's too good to be true, if you just believe. Now, I think pretty much every world religion is going to be tempted to have something like this, where you offer easy salvation, okay? If you just do this really easy thing, then you are saved, okay? Now, when I look in the early Buddhist texts, actually, it's kind of hard. It's hard to be saved, you know, to fulfill the five precepts, okay? Let's be honest. Can we all totally avoid killing, stealing, lying, sexual misconduct, drink and drugs, okay? In Canada, the drink and drugs one, virtually nobody can keep that. Like, one person in like a thousand can keep that, okay? So, you know, salvation is kind of difficult. If you look at the early Buddhist texts, it's challenging to keep the five precepts. You know, depending on what monk you ask, they might suggest some easy way for you to get to heaven. Oh, well, you know, just give a lot of dana. Just give a lot of dana. You know, there are a couple of rare suttas that say, and they're in the Buddhist texts, if you have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, and you're extremely generous, and let's just set aside sila. Let's set aside five precepts. But if you're extremely generous, you can go to heaven. It says that. Or actually, it says you can be a sotapanna. Yeah. Kali Goda is the name of one of the suttas. Kali Goda. Yeah, so I think that a lot of people who approach any religion, they're hoping to find an, you know, an easy path, an easy, you know. And it can be tempting for some of the monastics or priests or whatever, tempting to kind of offer an easy path, you know what I mean? Because the customers want it. The customers want an easy path, so they provide an easy path, okay? So there's, you know, there's a market need, and then a salesman comes and sells it, okay? It's that simple.
Is there any more questions?
Morning, Anthony. If I may say, like what you say, to try to get the balance between the loose and the tight, in between somewhere. I think in the world today, many people understand going towards the loose, one-sided, no good. Going towards the tight on one side is also no good. Then we strike into a middle point in between. The question in today's world is, this middle point is always creating another point, arguable. Because to fix a middle point between the two extremes, two antara, over time, the middle point is start become another two points. Then you have to start taking another middle point in the two, and so on and so forth. Never ending. Perhaps the best solution is to have what we call a dynamic balance between the tight and the loose. Dynamic balance in the sense there is no fixed middle point. when the left side is pushing the weight towards the right, this point will move somewhere to balance it. Vice versa, when the two tie on the right side comes, this point will move towards the left to self-balance and just stay. It might be put into this way into our country, into the society. It means that there's no one perfect system on each situation. It's the dynamic balance of each system in each community. So, depending on a lot of factors like the maturity of the community, the educational levels, and so on. So what current problem is, the West trying to push the East onto the East, and the East, they try to do it on the West. And that creates a problem. So, in a way, this leads to, I think just now the Buddha teaching was very good that, for example, if you travel into one establishment for practice, then you will let go of your attachments and so on and so forth. It's in a way a dynamic balance between the two. If you're staying in one place for too long, also no good. Stay in another place too short a time, maybe also So to me, this dynamic equivalent balance between the two anta, perhaps is what we call in today's world multipolar culture, instead of a unipolar. The currently what's called is Donald Trump trying to push his unipolar way to the whole world. And of course, that creates fighting. So, I don't know, I think, what is that? Is that a better way? Don't try to force each. Let it be, it will come to their own self-dynamic equilibrium. And that's the best for everyone, including the Sangha community, the nation, the Buddhist society, and so on and so forth. Thank you.
Okay, I didn't really hear much of a question there, but are you wondering, does Buddhism have something like this, a dynamic balance kind of thing?
Yes.
I would say the closest teaching of the Buddha to this would be the four right efforts. So the four right efforts have this quality of regulation, okay? Regulation. I taught a retreat earlier this year in March at Brahmavihara, and the topic for the retreat was the four right efforts. So I gave a series of talks, really went into it. You can look at my website if you would like to hear it, bhikkhu.ca, bhikkhu.ca. Two H's, two K's. It's kind of hard to spell. Okay. But yeah, four right efforts. There's this regulating thing. And speaking to the brother's earlier point here about the need for people skills, you know, in these corporate jobs, etc. Emotional self-regulation is so important. Buddhism doesn't say all that much about it. Psychology had not been invented yet at the time of the Buddha, okay? So we can't really blame the Buddha for, you know, not drawing upon psychology because it didn't exist yet. He did draw upon what the Brahmins already had, you know, kind of developed. He shows he's aware of their teachings a whole bunch of times. Sometimes he even uses some of their concepts. Let's say samadhi. That concept comes from the Brahmins, the Hindus. They're called the Hindus now. The Hindus were talking about samadhi before the Buddha. So he brings in some concepts. Sometimes he redefines them a little bit, or he adds new concepts. So he could not really pull in psychology because it didn't exist yet. Modern psychology would have a lot to say about the need to emotionally self-regulate. And to succeed in today's corporate world that's so competitive, I guarantee, like every manager, every leader, every CEO, you are not going to move up the ladder if you don't have good emotional self-regulation. So it might be worth learning more about, you know, YouTube's going to have all this stuff. Buddhism has more of an attitude of like, well, just, you know, remain mindful, attain to the Brahma-viharas. You know, can you break through to metta? Can you break through to equanimity? And it's more so an approach of like transcend whatever difficult emotions you're feeling. You know, if you're feeling angry or you're feeling frustrated, transcend it through your meditation. That's more so for the monks and nuns, and it lay people too. But, you know, if you're a lay person with a lot of responsibilities, okay, you got a job, you got a family, you got bills, you got all these different stresses in your life, it's really challenging to be transcending this with, you know, karuna and mudita and upeka, like at the same time, okay? Maybe your kids are screaming and crying and, oh, but you're floating in the heavens with your equanimity. Like, it's hard. It's hard to do that. The monks and nuns, it's a little easier for them because they don't have the kids or the job and stuff. Eh? So the Buddha, you know, he teaches like a transcendence over all these difficulties. That's sort of the main strategy there. Surviving through today's, you know, stressful, fast-paced world, emotional self-regulation. Does that speak to your point? Okay. One more question, sister in the front. You got a question? No. Okay.
Brother and sister, in the interest of time, we shall now close the call.